Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Like many of us boomer women, I've come a long way from the dutiful person, I don't know, daughter, wife, employee, that was expected of me. And I love this stage I'm at, where I'm finally putting myself first and not always responding with the, yes, of course. Arlene Cohen Miller speaks to so many pieces of that persona most of us have in our past. I enjoyed our conversation, and I really enjoyed editing this podcast as I got to listen to Arlene's words, examples, explanations, descriptions, yet again. I hope you enjoy listening in. Spoiler alert, you know most of this stuff. Now claim it. Embrace it. Listen now. Gone by, I've had quite the robust inner critic. Maybe part of having been a perfectionist? As I've gotten older, I think I've gotten gentler with myself. I'm doing just fine. Can't bounce around like I used to, but that's my knees, not my lack of ability or not trying hard enough. How about you? Do you say things to yourself that you'd never dream of saying to someone else? Do you say things to yourself that even your nearest and dearest would never say to you? My guest today is the app for that. I'd mention her credentials, but that would take far too long. Arlene does help people reduce stress, anxiety, overwhelm, and burnout, while building the confidence and self-esteem they need to embrace positive change. When it comes to helping us with our outspoken inner critic, she helps us learn to love and accept ourselves as we are, enjoying our own company and enjoying life. Sound like a nice way to enjoy these next few decades? Arlene Cohen Miller, we have a bunch of mid-age women leaning in. Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast.
Well, I'm right there with you. I'm really, really grateful to be with you today.
No, this is going to be great. Why do so many of us have inner critics?
I think we learn it when we're growing up, you know, and I mean, it's like some parents do the best they can, but they were judged harshly, you know, by their parents. Maybe they had, you know, parents that were immigrated from Russia, like my mother's parents, and they just had a whole different kind of life and getting over here. And it was just a different way of being raised. So I don't know the total answer, but oftentimes parents are trying to do their best, but in doing their best, they criticize us as children, thinking it's going to, like, you know, toughen us up. If I criticize you hard, when you go out in the world and someone else criticizes you, it won't hurt as much. It doesn't work that way, though. That's like some sort of false flag that's been out in humanity's consciousness for a while, and it just doesn't work. But I feel like the reasons that it happens are maybe almost as varied as people. You know, we can get it from a teacher. You know, maybe we took piano lessons or guitar lessons and we had a really critical music teacher, or maybe we hung out with a bunch of peers and it was a very critical group, or it could happen anywhere. But when we've been criticized as a kid, before we have the tools and skills to protect ourselves and we're just trying to survive in the world and we're dependent on adults to be alive, be fed and clothed and all that, we don't have ways to protect ourselves. And so sometimes we take on all that stuff. And then we implement it within ourselves because that's all we've known.
Is there ever a time, I mean, you have more experience, you've seen more of this than I have. Is there ever a time when, you know, maybe somebody's childhood was great, but once they enter the workforce, they're young adults, they're not finding the jobs that fit. They're perhaps not finding the university that fits or the friends that fit. And they sort of wear that themselves.
Yeah, there is a phenomenon, I believe, nowadays where parents are very lenient and give kids a lot. And I don't know if that's always so helpful, because I really had to learn as a mother when my son was a teenager that I had to step back, drop the attachment, and allow him to fail so that he could succeed later in life and not hand everything to them. So if we have kids where everything has been handed to you, and then we go out to university or go out to get our first job, and it's not a, you know, a bed of roses, and we weren't given the tools and skills to deal with that, that can be pretty devastating. You know, you can feel like a real failure because you've been told all along you're great, you're wonderful, everything's beautiful, and then you go and try to find a job that, I don't know, lights your heart up and isn't mundane and is more than maybe other people would expect. I don't know, but it can be very, very difficult if, on the other hand, the parents are very, very lenient and always, you know, gushing over the child and never giving them an opportunity to make a mistake or fail, always sharing them like a very rosy picture of who they are instead of helping them to maybe see things differently when it's not that way.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've talked with a few people on how parenting has changed. And, you know, even from the inability to launch them, shall we say, so that you keep them in the house and yeah, try to make that just all so good. Now, you talk about turning our inner critic into our inner coach.
Yes.
Share some gems for us.
Well, we created our inner critic. So we can delete our inner critic and create our inner coach or ground our inner coach more. It's a pattern and program that we help to ground within ourselves to as safety and security to stay alive when we didn't have other tools. So on the opposite end, we can begin to ignite the fire under our inner coach and have that be more and more a part of our reality. And so one simple way, I mean, there's many ways we can do it. One simple way is, I would say to all of your audience, because I know this is true for myself, I am very, very good. If I have someone that I love or a dear friend or someone that's in my life that I care about, and they're talking to themselves the way I might be talking to myself, I am very good about nurturing them, uplifting them, supporting them, acknowledging their successes, celebrating their successes, and helping them to step forward and drop that inner critic. So we already have the skills and the tools to do this. We just have to turn around and apply them to ourselves. So we know how to do it to someone else, and we can do it to ourselves. And one way we do it with ourselves is that it's not just nurturing and talking and sharing with ourselves a way to uplift and champion ourselves the way we would do someone else. For me personally, it's like feeling into, if my inner critic is going blah, 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 blah in my ear, what I will do is I'll go, wow, that's not very nice. I wonder how old this Arlene is inside of me. You know, maybe she's 8, maybe she's 10, maybe she's 16, maybe she's 22, but there's some part of me that I haven't liked her behavior, or she's gotten stuck in time because something happened that what felt traumatic to her as a child, as a teenager, maybe with our parents hardly did anything, but it felt traumatic to me and I got stuck. Or maybe I didn't like my behavior somewhere along the road, which is very true of a big part of my teenage years. I'm not a big part, but there's nice little snatches there. And so, you know, we just turn around and love those bits because we've maybe neglected or abandoned them or left them to their own devices. But we're the adult. We're the soul. We have the ability to love these bits of ourselves and bring them back to hold us in our hearts, like we would any child, but it's just inside of us. And that's really one way to help build up the inner coach, because what happens is that if we are a little bit of a doormat, a little bit of a people pleaser, I don't know anything about those things. I've never, ever done any of those in my life. It's really important to learn how to fill ourselves up with love, fill that cup up with love. And we were always really good about giving. But we have to have a full cup in order to have something to give from. So I'm going to stop there. That was a lot. And maybe you have some questions or comments.
Well, share till now. Everybody knows I come with notes. And where I was sort of going with the whole inner critic to inner coach is the fact that sometimes if we have inner critics, we can also be outer critics. Can the same rules apply where you go like, oh my God, I was just going to tell, you know, diss my friend and, you know, tell them that, you know, I'll try something different because you're obviously no good at that. Can we turn ourselves into outer supporters then of those people that we tend to be critical of? I mean, they could be really near and dear, but we're not helping.
Right. And I get that, because one of the reasons we do that is that then we don't have to look at ourselves. Because if someone else is wrong, and I'm not saying that sometimes when we feel this way about people, they might have really done a doozy or stuck their foot in their mouth or done something that's really not, the behavior's not okay. But when we get triggered by it, And when we want to take it out on them, whether we do that or not, there's got to be something in there that's wounded in us that got triggered. Because we've all had a situation where maybe we've been with a friend and the third friend says something, our friend gets really triggered, but we're like, what's their problem? That's no big deal. Because there's nothing inside of us there to be triggered. So yes, it's really important to notice when we're doing that. Because if we start dissing somebody else or tearing them down, it's going to lower our vibration. It's going to have an impact on us. It's going to lower like the kindness and patience and tolerance that we're building up inside of ourselves because we're projecting all this venom out. There's a much better way to communicate with somebody if their behavior is really off. Or sometimes we just need to look, I need to look at myself if I start doing that. It's like, what is this person mirroring back to me? Because oftentimes I used to have this with a very dear relative. I thought they were so arrogant, so self-centered, so self-righteous. And the horror when I step back, I'm like, oh, I kind of had that within myself, And so sometimes what the gift from the universe is that that's being mirrored to us to say, look inside of you so you can love those bits and let go of those bits that aren't working for you. Not always. So it's never just like one size fits all when we talk about this.
I really want to go with to mindfulness because it's sounding like that's what you're talking about. But before we go there, you do talk about work-life balance. And now some of our listeners are done with the 9 to 5. They're not doing that. But you talk about people pleasers. And so women our age are they're running interference with elderly parents. They're helping out family members. They're volunteering in responsible positions. And they then the other thing is they hear the comment of, oh, you're not working anymore. Could you do fill in the blank? And most of these women that I know that are this is their life now, they've never been busier. Talk to us about balance.
So yeah, I think it's really important to know when to say no, because I practiced it with some very close relatives that I love dearly because because when you say yes, it seemed to me in my life they kept getting more and more and more outrageous. I mean, someone in my family, I got a beautiful ring that I inherited, a diamond that I inherited from my father, turned it from a guy's ring to my ring. And one of my relatives, God love him, was getting married and wanted me to give him now my this ring so that he could give it to his fiance. And I'm like, no, this is my father's ring. I'm not giving this to you. You can buy your own. I mean, what I found, I'm just giving you a kind of an extreme example, but we need to learn to say no. Because no can be the kindest, most loving thing. I got really sick when I was younger, and I had a really bad miscarriage, and I was in the hospital for a week, and I lost a baby. And one thing that I learned was the world keeps on turning without me. And so if we say no, and someone else really needs something, it'll either fall through the cracks or find someone else to fill the space. And so we need to empower ourselves first and foremost when our plates are full. And we have enough, and we really don't want to do this other thing. Say, I really am grateful that you think you thought of me, but my plate is full, and I'm going to have to say no. And we don't make any excuses. The answer is no, because when we make excuses, they'll try to weasel their way in. And sometimes, when you've been the yes person and you change, if we change, we're the one that's changed. So we need to be compassionate and kind with the other people that we always said yes to, because they might have a little bit of a hissy fit. And that's okay. And we can just say, I know that I always said yes, but I need to set some clear and appropriate boundaries because it's just too much for me. And I need to have some other kind of free time. And I appreciate this is important to you, but it's just not going to be me this time. So we can acknowledge their feelings, but we don't have to say yes because someone gets a little bit upset. If we spend our lives trying to make everybody else happy, we are going to be miserable.
I remember hearing a phrase that, I guess it's a sentence, but that no is a complete sentence.
It is.
Because, like you just said, as soon as you start qualifying it or trying to explain it or apologize or all that sort of stuff, it's just like they're going to find a way through the cracks to get to the yes person inside of you or back you into a corner where you're going, like, okay, well, I think I've run out of excuses or reasons or whatever.
We don't have to have an excuse. We don't have to have a reason.
No, that's what I say. Like, so it's just you stop at no.
Yeah, and they keep on trying to go, what's your reason or why? It says it doesn't matter. it's too much right now. I do not want to do it. The answer is no. And as long as we don't say it in anger or frustration and we hold a nice space of kindness and love, it's going to be a lot easier for them to stomach, you know, and not be triggered by their pushiness, because actually we help to set up that pattern and program of always saying yes or saying yes, you know, a big chunk of the time.
Right. I learned my lesson when I was doing staffing in a union environment. And of course, when someone phones in sick, that too is a complete sentence. I am sick. I can be positive they're at the beach with their kids because I can hear what's going on in the background. And I go, okay, you're sick. I will replace you. Like you just sort of stop and you just leave it. Like you just stop there. And saying no is the same thing. And I think a lot of people need to learn that.
Yeah, and just not to feel bad about it, because again, you're filling your cup up with love. It's not our job to make everybody else happy. It's not our job, because then we're going to be depleted, and you know, it just doesn't make sense. And so we have to give ourselves permission to be kind to ourselves. And sometimes it helps to have like a group of like-minded women as our support group, because when we come together and we're like-minded souls and we have a similar purpose and a similar reason for gathering, maybe it's to support ourselves, to build our inner coach and learn to say and choose to say no at appropriate times and stop being a people pleaser or anyone's doormat and I don't know, experience more joy. That it's really great if we have a support group, because then we have everyone coming together, and whether it's online or a group that we meet. And that doesn't have to be the sole thing we do, but it's really important, I feel, in this day and age, not to do it as a lone wolf, but to come together in powerful groups where we're loving and supporting each other in that way.
It sounds like you and I may have already been down that road, and we have learned that no is a complete sentence. But there's a lot of people out there that have such insecurities that they just go like, they're going to hate me if I say no, or I've always done it, so I've got to say yes, that sort of thing. Is there, where do you recommend people start? Like, is there just like small baby steps they can take to say no to before they get into the bigger requests that they want to say no to, but they can't?
Well, I guess that what we can do is that, and this is what I recommend, is that, you know, we don't have to start acknowledging ourselves and celebrating our successes with the big goal or the big project or whatever it is. And that would be saying no to this person I always say yes to, and da 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 da. We start with little things that we can acknowledge for ourselves. Maybe we created a list for ourselves personally where we put way too much on there. It's an overbooking. It's too much for us. We overestimated, you know, how it was going to feel. We don't want to do it all. And we personally can take things off of that list. And we can personally start whittling that list down until it's more manageable and we still have time to breathe and get out in nature and do things with our friends and all those other things that we love. So the person that we're saying no to originally would be ourselves, because we created these lists that were too big. That we said we could do in a day or 2 days, but would take 2 weeks. And we can whittle them down and we can have the successes within ourselves, see that the sky doesn't fall in. And maybe we can also have an accountability buddy. Maybe we have a woman friend who has similar patterns and programs, and we're going to support each other in that step and just, you know, keep tabs, texting or maybe a phone call a week just to see how we can, you know, support each other to step forward. But the only person we're saying no to is us to begin with.
That might be a good segue into just a concept that came to my head as you were talking as to whether or not this moving forward is an hourglass or a box. And good thing I talk with my hands because you can see what I'm saying. Is, you know, we start out with like all these commitments, all these, yes, I'll do it, yes, I'll be there, whatever. And as we start sort of knocking a few off of that list, we're narrowing down like the hourglass. And then do we start saying, okay, now that I've got this under control, I can start adding in my trips to nature, my self-care, my whatever, and so it builds back out again into a full life? Or is it sort of like the box where it's like, okay, I've taken that off the list so I can put in my walk in nature. I've taken that off the list. I can, you know, add in whatever it is that I want to add in that's about me. What do you see in your practice?
I watch the all kinds of things, you know, but
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
I recommend that, you know, because I always tell people when they say, oh, when I get this off, then I'll do this for myself. I said, well, how will it be if in a whole year you haven't done any of this stuff and now, or is now 2 years down the road and you're just beginning to do it, you know, maybe to, I'm just talking in general, you know, take your walks in nature, spend time that you've with stuff that you really enjoy that's relaxing and nurturing just for you. How would it be if you waited 2 whole years for that? Because that's the time that it took to whittle it down. I really feel that even if it's a 5 or 10 or 15 minute break, we need to start doing those kind things for us that nurture us, that support us, that uplift us now. Because, I mean, I know that I have social media. I'm assuming that most of these ladies do too. And oh my God, you can go on it and scroll in, it's 45 minutes are gone. It's addictive. Instead, if we do something you know, I don't know, listen to music or whatever it is or go to our garden, whatever like lights us up, you know, that we really just would love to spend some time with, make the time to do it. There's always 15 minutes. There's always 20 minutes. It's amazing how we can waste time. So telling ourselves we have, if this happens, when this happens, then I'll do that. I think it's a recipe for disaster. Because when will it ever really happen? We need to start giving ourselves the benefits now.
I think sometimes, I mean, I surprised myself recently insofar as I love music. I mean, it's just a big part of my life. And I used to dance with my kids when they were little tiny people. And I used to teach dance aerobics. And like, I love my music. And on the weekends, I invariably have it on. And I'm in the process of, I've been caretaking a big old heritage house. And I'm in the process now. It's just been sold, so whittling it down. And I had this big empty hallway, and my tunes were playing. And I went, when was the last time I danced just for the sake of dancing? And I stopped, and I was doing some moves and carrying on, and you know, like that. And I started laughing at myself because it was like, it's something that's so important to me, but you still tend to put things on the back burner when you
Yeah.
get busy. So it's,
Yeah. And those little moments of joy are so amazing. You know, I was doing the same thing. What is it? Oh, there's one song I love by Joan Baez called Forever Young. Oh my God. And the way she sings it when she was young, her voice, now she can sing it now, but her voice went down a couple octaves and I'm always crying through the whole thing. But I just love it. You know, we all have it. I mean, there's lots of songs like that or different kind of music that I just love. And just taking some time to listen to it, my earbuds, and I can really hear it really good. It's just so uplifting. It just changes how you feel. And we all have time for those little moments, just like you say.
Yeah, when you consider something like that, that can be just like 15 seconds, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, do we really not have time for 30 seconds
Right.
of joy? You know, it's
Right.
pretty crazy. Yeah. Now, you mentioned boundaries. I'm going to go out on a limb here. A lot of women, you know, I'm a little getting a little bit gender specific here. A lot of women are not good at setting boundaries.
Right.
It's sort of more of the same, I think, in terms of not saying no and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where do you recommend they start?
Well, I work with, I know they're all the boundaries of like, I will do this, but I won't do that. I like to approach it energetically, a little bit because we know what the actual boundaries are, but I like to explain it to people that, you know, we want to set clear and appropriate boundaries with everybody. And the way I set my boundaries, I hope this resonates with your audience. We'll see. Maybe I'm going out on a limb too. I like to put a beautiful golden bubble of protection around myself, flooded with the light and love. And it's my own personal sanctuary. And I just affirm to myself the only thing that can come in my personal sanctuary, my golden bubble of protection, are energies that are unconditional love and higher. So it's love that someone gives me, and there's no conditions attached. There's no like, if you do X, Y, and Z, I'll love you. None of that is there. Anything else just sort of bounces back to the other person. And so I like to visualize and see myself in this beautiful golden bubble of protection, and that it's my safe space, and that love is the only thing that's going to get in. And so one of the mistakes that we make where we get blasted by other people's energy is that we base our boundaries on how strong our boundaries are, who can come into our little sacred space field by how we are. And that's completely backwards. We want to set our boundaries by how the other person is. Because if I feel all joyful and happy, just like you did when you were dancing around in your hallway, and then I have a friend coming over, and normally she's great, and I will assume she's going to be that way, so I'm really open and oh, it's wonderful. And she comes in and she's just got a bad text, or she's listened to the news and she's upset. If I base my boundaries on myself, her energy is going to whammy me. It's just like it's going to feel like a punch in the stomach, or a punch in the heart, or a punch in the throat. We've all experienced that when somebody's triggered and they come into our space and they start dumping what's going on for them. So we set our boundaries by how the other person is. If you know, and people can change and on a dime. You know, we can have, most of the people that we love, you know, they're pretty good all the time, but everyone has a bad hair moment or a bad hair day. So if they're really loving and kind in one moment, and all of a sudden they start going down some rabbit hole and get triggered, we have to be able to like to put up really strong boundaries. You know, I gotta like visualize like this really strong golden mirror on the outside of my golden bubble that faces outwards, and so their energy just bounces back to them. And that's the way I sort of play with it, because I feel that it's much more than just saying that this is this, I will only go this far and no farther. Because what if we don't have these kind of strong energetic boundaries around us, what happens is that people will jump, will dump their negativity into our energy field. Or if we're in a, if like when you were all joyful with the music, someone will come and they'll suck your positive energy because they're like a flat tire that needs to be pumped up, which will go flat again. So I like to approach it energetically and then bring in, you know, what exactly, how far will I go with this person? When do I say no? And, you know, and how can I work with myself to make sure that I stick to my guns? Because if we, otherwise we're going to be blasted, you know, and we're going to feel like, and all the things that we feel in our bodies and systems is not going to even be our stuff. And that we can only clear and let go and then change something from fear to love if it's our stuff. So most of us have a lot of stuff from other people that we just need to let go of. And that can give us the strength also to have those clear, strong, and appropriate boundaries.
Well, and surely this is something that people can, I don't know, move to that place of having their bubble. We've just come out of COVID. We got used to being, you know, a hula hoop away or 6 feet away or whatever it was. And I remember we've got a park nearby, and they actually hired people to wander through the park with pool noodles. And to make sure people, unless you're actually together, you're in the bubble together, they had to be pool noodle distance apart. So I'm thinking, like, we've all got these conceptual notions now of, I have my bubble. So let's just change now the purpose of that bubble. It's no longer to keep the germs out, other people's germs out. It's to keep our joy here. And you know, I mean, sometimes I think the skin of the bubble could be a little permeable,
Oh
so
yeah,
that you know
it
we
is.
yeah. I mean, we can feel that, but that's then I guess it gets back to boundaries of saying, okay, even if I can help you out here, you've got to come at it from a different angle, you know.
Yeah, it's just a visual that might help our audience, because I know how much it's helped me, you know, because I didn't, because I'm pretty sensitive, you know, and so it just felt like I was being mowed over a lot, and I didn't know why. It didn't seem like a lot of other people got mowed over as much as I did, or who knows what we tell ourselves, but it was just really helpful. It just was really helpful to know that there's an energetic component, and I can do this to energetically take care of myself, and that's part of self-love and self-care. And even when we have our big golden bubble of protection around us, and is a semi-permeable membrane, because the love comes in, the fear just doesn't. A lot of people say that they're afraid to do it, like with family and stuff, because how can I love them? Of course you can love them, even with our golden bubble of protection, and the other person's energy is not about love. We can still show kindness and compassion and empathy and all those kind of sacred qualities to another person and give that to them. We're just saying that if they're in a bad place right now, they can't dump their energy into our field, which is going to lower our energy. And we can't be as much help or service then. So, yeah. So I used to have two sets of boundaries. You know, one for the house, right, and one for my family. It didn't work. It didn't work because they had as many bad hair moments as the rest of the world. And I was like, oh my God, I've got to do something different here, you know? And it's we can still love these people. It's not about not sharing our love with these people. It's just we're clearer and brighter because we're not taking on their stuff, because they're the only ones that can clear their stuff anyway. We can't. They have to do it for themselves.
So you're saying we don't have to be more, what's the word, forgiving to family? I mean, because oftentimes it's like, oh, it's a, family, I'll just let them pour it on me and that'll help them. Whereas we don't necessarily put up with as much from friends or
Right.
workmates, but we don't have to do that with our family either. We can sort of put the hands
Yeah,
up and say,
they don't even have to know. Well, actually, people will feel it and say, "You're different. What are you doing?" And I
taking
just
care
say,
of
"Well,
myself.
yeah." And sometimes I answer, and sometimes I don't. I mean, that's another thing that I've learned as I've grown older. Just because somebody asks me a question doesn't mean I have to answer it. And it's amazing when you don't answer it; they just don't know what to do. You know, most people just they don't know what to do. You didn't answer the question, but. There's no, just because someone asks me something or demands that I share something with them doesn't mean I have to do it. That was a big lesson. You know, I always thought that was the rules. It's not.
So, listeners, if there's any really long pregnant pauses, you know that Arlene's just choosing not to answer my
I'm
question.
not going to do that on this. I'm giving an example.
No. So I think what we've done is we've talked all the way around it and not mentioned the word, but mindfulness
Yeah.
is, learning about ourselves and being very aware of all of that we've just been talking about, but
Yeah.
also then what's out there.
And also, a simple way to practice mindfulness is to stop running through life like a chicken with the head cut off. Because if we are fully present in the moment, even like washing dishes and just enjoying the process, or even making our bed, or doing all the little things that we do every day that are, quote, I don't know, tedious, whatever, if we really are fully present, you know, maybe listening to music when we're doing it, that's mindfulness. We're not rushing from one thing to the next. We can even take a little stroll in nature mindfully, you know, just really appreciating the beauty around us. There's so many ways. It's just a process of slowing down and being fully present in the moment, whatever we're doing.
I know I've seen people, like even in a grocery store checkout, where they're so busy texting and the clerk is being very pleasant and, just congenial. And, by the time the customer is out of the store, I bet they couldn't even have said whether it was a male or a female clerk,
Yeah.
just because they're so not aware. And I thought, like, to. There's so much you can miss. I mean, yes, you can miss nature, you can miss the sound of the birds, but even missing those momentary personal interactions, which
Right.
can bring a lot of joy.
Yeah, I'm so glad I was born before all that stuff came into being.
Yeah.
You know, because I think we have a different mindset with it all, because I just see my granddaughter. She's on it all the time, and I love her dearly, and I'm not her mother, so I don't say anything. I don't set the rules, but it's really, I think it's a way to hide as well. You miss a lot with that.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, just we're going off on a tangent here, but apparently a lot of the digital generation, they are so ill-equipped to hold conversations that they're missing out on job opportunities because apparently now employers are actually looking at, I can teach you the skills, so I'm not as worried about your skills as I am with the fact that you can talk to your workmates, talk to my customers, talk to, whatever. And so those soft skills are becoming so valuable to people. The
Yeah.
ability to hold a conversation and look someone in the eye or something like that.
Right.
So, but as I say, we got off on a tangent with that one.
That's all right. It's okay.
Now you have two talking points. One's about being frustrated or overwhelmed, another about getting cranky and irritable. Do they often travel together?
I would say probably yes. You know, those are all like qualities that are not about love. So I think we just need to have skills and tools in place to take care of ourselves before we go down a deep dark hole. If we start feeling, you know, cranky or irritable or frustrated or all those other qualities that are not about love. And I guess what I would recommend is just choose to be aware. Ask to be aware. Ask the universe, please show me if I'm being cranky or irritable, and so we can just stop. You know, that's when we've done a bunch of, we've finished a bunch of things, we've done them well. Take a moment to acknowledge yourself and celebrate your success and take a break. You know, because we all do better if we take breaks. And that's part of just filling our cup up with love and being kind to ourselves. And also, as women, I think we tend not to acknowledge what we accomplish and not to celebrate it. Oh, it's no big deal. What? What? You know, we just need to take that time for all those little things that we do to acknowledge, and even just a little happy dance or something, you know, just to celebrate what we do, because that's the foundation to be different. And then, you know, everything sort of builds on that, and we start to feel different about ourselves, because when we acknowledge something, it's really kind of a way to love ourselves, you know? So, yeah, they do go hand in hand, and I just wanted to throw in that other stuff as well, because we can tend to do that, just to push through all that crankiness and irritability and frustration, and then we get to a point where just like, you know, we're flat on the floor.
I had a business coach one time who said, you know, write down, well, it was year end, write down all of your accomplishments this year. And, you know, we came up with, oh, I did this and I did that. And, you know, we had 3, 4, 5 things on the list. So she got a little frustrated with us and said, okay, guess what? We're going to do this weekly now, because what you are accomplishing and what you are noticing that you're accomplishing are so far apart. And when you start noticing it on a more regular basis of, oh my goodness, you know, I did this week, or I accomplished that, or whatever, you suddenly, by year end, you've got a list that's like 200 things long. And right. And you can feel so much better about yourself, your productivity, anything. And I mean, I use the business example, but you can do it in your personal life as well.
Right. Right. I stopped and I had a really lovely conversation with the checkout lady at the grocery store. Maybe it's 30 seconds, but it was like a really nice little thing. That's something to acknowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important to count, well, acknowledge the wins, but sometimes you have to count the wins.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't.
Whatever,
like
whatever. It all, it's all kind of part and parcel of the same thing.
Right. Yeah. Talk to me about being grounded. What is that and how do we get there?
Okay, I'm going to talk energetically again with you.
Okay, that's great, great.
Because it's really important to be grounded and fully present. Because if we're in the future, lots of times we're going into worry and anxiety and overwhelm. And if we're thinking about the past, maybe we're reminiscing and all the good old days, or maybe there's something that we're remorseful about. But both of those take us out of the present moment, and the place to be most calm and clear and relaxed is fully present here now. And this is nothing new. I'm not, you know, this is the oldest time. But one way I like to feel present is to, it's my little tree exercise. It's like I feel like there's this column of light from the middle of my chest. It goes down my body, down my legs, out my feet as these huge roots of light, and it anchors straight away into the heart of the planet. Because I feel she's a living, breathing, beautiful being. And so I heart connect with her. So my heart is one with her heart, and I'm made of all of her stuff. Everything's in the planet is in these bodies. So when we're feeling that like actual grounding cords into the heart of the planet, then we're like, we can be really grounded in our bodies. And sometimes just going outside and even hanging out with a bunch of trees helps me to be grounded. And sometimes, well, like in the summer, I might like lay a towel on the ground and under a tree or whatever and lie there. And it just, the earth, the nature energies are so nurturing. They're so nurturing, the nature energies that are all around us. There's no fear in them. It's just really a lot of loving energy, and connecting with them helps me to be grounded and fully present. And I know there's other ways. I'm just trying to ponder which is a good way to. But those are just, the tree thing is something really, really easy that we can all do. And yeah, because then we're connected to our own heart. We're connected to the heart of the planet. We can even feel like a light going all the way up to source and connect with that love and feel that love flowing in and the love from the planet flowing in and our love flowing from our hearts. I know it's it helps to fill us up with love, and we're here now, and it's a lot easier.
I find too, sometimes just to, whether you lie on the grass, the ground, or a blanket, doesn't much matter, but to then be very aware of what your body is leaning on against, upon, but just to really sense the ground beneath you. And, because how often do we just go through life and you don't really think about even where your feet have been or whatever, but to actually notice that, whether there's a tree root behind your head or like just feel that whole thing down your body and really
Yeah.
become aware too. And once
Yeah.
again, we keep on going back to nature, but I think that's also proven, the whole getting into nature and
Yeah, getting
getting
away
some.
from all the electromagnetic radiation of our computers. And she is really healing. I just feel that Mother Nature's like this beautiful energy, and we can go out and connect with her anytime. And we all know what it feels like to go to the ocean, or for us in Colorado to go up to the mountains. I'm in the foothills of them, or just there's so many beautiful places on this planet. It's a, such a gift, and we can take advantage of that.
I'm changing subject slightly here. I watched some of your videos. There's one on how to ask questions. Now, that particular video I think was probably meant for the workplace, but I think your answer would be pertinent to overcommitted women as well. Can you talk to us about how to ask questions? Because sometimes we react instead of sort of going through it, getting more information, and then responding as opposed to just reacting.
Right. Well, if you want to get information from somebody, you ask an open question. So an open a closed question is a question that is like a yes or no question. It recalls for a yes or no answer. So, how are you going to do that? Who's going to be involved? What would I have to do? How will I know that we're finished with a project? Those kind of using those how, who, what, when, where. Those are all beginnings of sentences that are open questions. Is this going to take more than 4 hours? Is a closed question. It's either a yes or a no. So if we really want to find out about something, and the best thing to do is to ask open questions. If we want to, feel into or figure out if this is something that I want to be involved with, we can do that. And I would go one step further, even though it might make some of you guys uncomfortable, is that you don't have to give an answer right away. You can say something simple as I'm intrigued, I might be interested, but just give me a couple of days to ponder because I have a lot on my plate and I'm not sure I can give this the time that it deserves, but I'll get back to you by, and maybe 3 or 4 days later or whatever it is. We don't That's another thing. We don't have to give someone an answer now.
So on a personal level, instead of just saying to our friend, "Are you having a bad day?" which is a yes or no answer, we can say, "We're feeling that something's going on in your life. Do you want to talk about it, or do you what's going on?" That sort of thing. So,
Yeah. Yeah, we
they
can
can
say
either
that.
say, "I don't want
Yeah.
to talk about it," or they
Yeah.
can open up then and.
Yeah. If we really know them well, it feels like you're kind of really off and something's going on. I'm here for you. If you want to share, or not. I'm just letting you know that that's what it seems like to me.
It takes practice.
It does take practice. And when I went first, I did a whole year of diploma of coaching and mentoring, and I was an attorney, practicing attorney with my own law firm, and thought I was pretty cool, and I had all this education. I knew what I was doing. Oh my God, what a humbling experience! Learning how to o ask open questions and really seeing how poorly I actually did listen. Because I was always thinking about what I was going to say when someone else was talking. How could I ever listen? So it is a skill that can be learned. And if we're starting to practice working with those open questions and being more open to just hearing what people have to say, just be patient with yourself because it took a lot of practice to be able to do this so quickly. And I would go back and listen to all my coaching recordings and cringe. Like when I was the coach, we would record them. We went through all that training. Oh my God, it was very, very humbling. So be kind to yourself if you're choosing to start to play with that.
Yeah. I've been practicing it for a long time and I still have to think about it. So, okay. I wanted to get here because the two things that I absolutely love, and apparently you are believers, practitioner, meditation and gratitude.
Yeah, well, we talked about meditation because meditation basically can take you from fight or flight mode to rest and relax mode. And same with mindfulness. And so lots of people say, I can't meditate, I can't still my mind. I mean, look at me, not the most calm, But you can, I can listen to music that lights up my heart and listen to that as a meditation. I can go out in nature and not do a power walk and really appreciate her. That's a meditation. Sometimes we can do breath work. There's simple breath work that we can do, like even breathing in through our nose and out through our nose, with the out breath longer than the in breath, because that helps to put us in rest and relax mode. And we just keep on doing that until we feel calmed down. So we're just paying attention to our breath. And you can start with 5 minutes. I think people get turned off because they think I should be sitting there with my legs crossed like the Dalai Lama and making om sounds in order to meditate. No. If I had to do that, I wouldn't be here with that. This is like, what? So it can be very, very simple. And some of my friends actually, well, I was a painter for a number of years, and I just sort of, anyway, and that was a meditation for me, because, and sometimes when I like write my blog, it's a meditation because you're just so wrapped up in the moment. Everything else fades away and time just really expands out. So I think we need to expand our definition of meditation, but it is important to have that quiet stillness time, if at all possible, even if we just do 5 minutes. Maybe beginning and ending our day. What was the second one we were talking about? I forgot. Oh, good.
Well, gratitude. And what I was going to just say about meditation too, though, is there are so many, even short, as you say, 5 minute guided meditations. So that's a good place to start, I think, for a lot of people who, as you say, think it's sitting cross-legged, fingers together, om, doing their thing, or the whatever their word is. But yeah, and then gratitude. I
Well,
love gratitude.
I just want to say, if you go to YouTube, just play around. You can type in 5 minute meditations or 5 minute mindfulness practices, whatever you choose. There is so much out there, and you can always find something that resonates with you. And you find something that, like, ooh, I don't like that at all. That's fine. Just let it go.
Sometimes
Or
it's as
maybe,
simple as the voice.
yeah. So gratitude. I have a feeling that a lot of the women that are listening know all about gratitude, because we're grateful for our grandkids, we're grateful for our family, we're grateful for this stage in our life. Usually, it's not perfect. The bodies don't do everything they used to do, but gratitude is like a key to manifestation. And if you struggle with gratitude at all, I always suggest you just start with the basics. Look around what you've manifested for yourself. You have a safe place to live. You have a comfortable bed to sleep in. You can take a hot shower. There's running water. You got food in the fridge. You got food in the pantry. You have people that love you and you love them. You have all kinds of skills and knowledge and stuff like that that you bring it to the world. There's so many things you already have. So it's important not to fall into the trap of thinking you have to wait to find something to be grateful for. It's already all there. And then if we're really choosing to be aware of it, you will just see more and more things to be grateful for. And I had one of my clients, attorney like me, and at the end of our time together, she decided, it came up in our conversation, I'm just not grateful enough. She had so much to be grateful for. And she decided that she was going to post on social media. She picked a platform every day for a year, 365 days, some little short blurb about something she's grateful for, and a photo to go with it, or some picture she found on the internet. And I followed her, and her transformation was amazing. You could just feel her heart opening and being more grounded and enjoying her life more and really seeing all the blessings even more strongly that she had in her life. So you have to do it for 365 days. That was really impressive. But little things make a big difference when it comes to all that.
I find too, it just becomes a habit. So it's not a matter of doing it daily. It just happens all the time. Whether it's a green light. Thank you. I got a corner that I pull out. I pull left out of it every morning. And it's just like there's some mornings when I can sit there and it's like 4 minutes later, I'm still sitting there because it's not a light control. And there's some mornings when I come down, I take a look, and I sail out and I go, thank you. Exactly. And I think it really does become part of your life. And it's a joyous part. If you're being thankful for something, it's usually something good. So.
And that helps to raise you up, because the more you do it, because of course the law of attraction is what we focus on, is what we get more of in our life. And if you're focusing on all those things to be grateful for, I believe the universe is going to give you more things to be grateful for. It's not going to be like, all roses and flowers, but it really does change who we are and how we experience the world.
Yeah, I think I interviewed somebody recently who said, like, do you ever decide you're going to go out and buy a blue Toyota? And then you see blue Toyotas everywhere. And it's the same. Once you start being grateful about stuff, you start going, oh, there's something to be grateful for. Though there's something to be grateful for. So, yeah, it's kind of
Still
a.
has stuff that's going on that's difficult or challenging, but it does make a difference. Even what I find that I could add to that is that a lot of the learning on planet Earth is negative learning. I don't want that. Like a relationship or that kind of whatever it is not something I want to do in my life. And we get it on a feeling, visceral basis. That, wow, that was an interesting person to come into contact with. I don't want that kind of friend in my life. But all that kind of negative learning, when we get the learning from it and we get it on a feeling basis, that's something to be grateful for, because that opens us up to have more of that positivity stuff in our life because we've identified what we don't want. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it does seem to work for me.
It does absolutely, because as you were speaking, I'm thinking of, like even if you come to something that appears to be insurmountable, and if you can just stop and think, okay, like, I got through this in situation, I got through this challenge, I got through this problem, I got, you start to go like, okay, this looks big, but I've done variations on a theme in the past. I can get through it again, and then to be grateful for both, first of all, the experience that sort of helps you understand that you can get through it. And then once you're through it, just the fact that you made it.
And then give yourself the opportunity to take one little small step forward at a time, feel into how that feels, acknowledge yourself for it, and then decide where you're taking the next little small step so that we don't put ourselves into a deep dark hole or feel bad about ourselves because we can't, quote, solve the problem or change everything immediately. That usually is not the way big things work. So, yeah, I just want to add that in there as well.
What are soul readings?
Soul readings. So, soul readings, I do coaching and mentoring. Soul readings are a form of mentoring. I love them. I'm not psychic or anything like that. I do work with psychic tarot oracle cards. And basically, a lot of times I do it online and I have a way where I just move my fingers across the cards and they pick a certain number and I pick a certain number. And what I do is I share like opportunities that are open to you and maybe any challenges or difficulties that could be there, maybe things that you could let go of in your life that would be helpful, and some tools and skills of how to step forward into the new. And so, if someone has a question, that they want to ask before I do the cards, we put that into the energy of it. But we're working on like a soul to soul level, not the personality level, not the ego level, the soul level. And so it's just a way to help you move forward in a way that feels, I don't just feel so joyful. The cards just feel so joyful and supportive. And there's something about seeing pictures that helps to like you remember it. And I always record them because I feel like it's something that someone can work with, ongoingly, because sometimes they can talk fast. I don't know if you notice that. And then you can look at the cards and see what they look like, and then you can play with it and see how it works for you. But I find it's just a beautiful, beautiful way to mentor people to help them move forward in a way that we're both co-creating, we're coming together, and it's a co-creation together.
I don't know very much about tarot cards at all, but do you ever get into a situation where there's something about the energy between you and that other person that's, you just, it's not there, like a positive energy isn't there, or you just feel that they're blocking you or something. And does that change a reading?
Yeah, of course it does. And sometimes I'll just say to the person, because a lot of people have trust issues, and rightly so by how they've been raised or maybe some trauma that they have experienced. So I always err on the side of being kind. And I'll say something like, I'm having a real hard time reading you, not in a way to probe into you, but to give you a reading that's helpful for you because I feel like there's a big wall around you. And, we can stop it, but if there's a way that we can build trust with each other and that you know that you're safe here and that quite frankly, I don't remember anything that I say when I do these readings. I don't want to keep it in my short-term memory. I don't want to know all about these people's life. I just let it all go. So, you know, I might share that as well. It doesn't happen that often, but sometimes just people are a little bit, you know, they've had experiences where it feels hard just to open up and feel safe. I do my best, but, you know, if something doesn't work, we just stop. Because there's nothing saying you have to go through and finish this because you sat down and you said you wanted to read with me. I'm
going to do this, damn it.
Yes, I'm not going to make anybody do it. That's not very kind.
You sat down in that chair. You stay there.
You're glued there until this is done. Or you're going to have to sit in the corner. No, nothing like that.
Oh, we parented the same. No, I'm just kidding. What haven't we talked about that you want midlife women to really think about, to consider, to embrace?
Well, I just think that the kindness, patience, and tolerance is a beautiful trinity that we can bring to each other. You know, to be kind, to be patient, and be tolerant with ourselves. And then if we start bringing that more and more to ourselves, it's easy to bring it to other people. Because I find that, you know, the more I am like that, the less people can trigger me. I mean, there's still people that are really good at it. There's always artists, always somebody, you know, because there's something inside of me that I need to let go. But when we really, you know, bring that to ourselves, because we're pretty good at bringing it to other people, I find that that beautiful trinity of kindness, patience, and tolerance, I sort of view it like a beautiful triangle, is one of the sacred qualities of each thing. They all work together. Really helps.
Cool. Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
You find me at my website, Jewel Consultancy. I guess you're going to post those, right? Okay. And I'm also on LinkedIn under Arlene Cohen Miller, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. But, you know, to really get a feel for who I am, it'd probably be my website, a little bit with LinkedIn. And, I'm always there. My phone number is right on the website, too. I'm happy to chat with people. You can always email me or text me. It's on, all that information's there. It's really fun. This is my first time I've talked to my age group.
Is that right? Well, you know what? Just before you move on, I wanted to talk about your website, and then also I got lost in your Instagram. Is so many of the pics, and I loved the pictures you use on your website and in your articles. Old growth trees with these big expansive branches. I'm trying to keep my eyes on you because I've got your website open on my other monitor here. Or wild creatures. Is that just that whole connectivity and grounding and stuff?
I don't know. When I was writing all those different blogs and doing it, the guy who's helping me put it together gave me a place where I could get free photos. And the nature ones that were just, they just drew me in. And the animal ones were funny because they could go with all my different kind of blogs without making it like, because if you just try to get pictures of people, they look really stilted and they have no life in them. They have no love. It doesn't do anything for me. So I don't know why I did that. It just felt right. But I'm glad you enjoy them because I'd like to go and look at those pictures as well.
Well, when I even just opened it, I say, I've got it right here. I'm looking at this picture going, this better not be her backyard. Or else I'm moving in.
No, that's not my backyard. Although I do, if you look out there, you can see the mountains. But But you have a pretty view of where you live too. So you live
we're very fortunate. But there's something about these old gnarly trees that they tell such a story.
Oh, their energy, thousands of over 1,000 years old, and that's amazing.
Yeah,
they're amazing. These ancient trees.
I'm just going to add too, just while we're talking about your website, on your video page, below your leadership series videos, you have a number of videos on staying calm and centered. And I really encourage our listeners to check those out too, because I quite enjoyed those. And they're short.
You get to see me before COVID when I was still dyeing my hair blonde. So that's a treat.
Oh, okay. Isn't that funny? I don't notice stuff like that.
That's all right. I do. But no, those were fun to do, and I hope they're helpful.
Yeah. May I ask you a personal question before we close?
Sure.
You said the word, and I went, oh, you're an artist, and your paintings are so expressive. Tell us about that, Arlene.
Well, years ago, my ex-husband and I had a mutual friend, and he's just a lovely artist, and he had his studio at the top of the Firehouse Art Studio in Longmont, Colorado, which is down the street from where I live in Niwot, and charged almost nothing to give weekly lessons. So I started painting
My
with
goodness.
pastels. And when so I did a lot of paintings, and I when I we sold our house, I gave a lot of them away to like Habitat for Humanity, so they could sell them so people could build houses. But I kept a bunch of them, and they're in the room I have now. And when I moved out and moved in with a friend, I had a big house, all of our kids were grown, the first place I lived afterwards, I just made painting my thing. And I basically decorated my whole place with all my paintings, a lot of different kind of women paintings, some animal paintings, and just really brought joy. And I don't know, I got good at it pretty quick, but it just feels like that part of my life is over. I mean, I really enjoyed it, but there's other things I'm doing now. But gosh, if you want to do something mindful or meditative, even if you just draw stick lines, painting or anything artsy is wonderful. Very healing. Very healing.
I go scrounging around looking for something that's totally unrelated for the personal question.
That's all
And
right.
there's only been a few times that I've come up with nothing. And so I'm scrolling your Instagram primarily because I'm enjoying these beautiful photographs that you put up. And I went, that one's a painting. And I clicked in, and the blurb you'd put in sounded like it was yours. And so I kept on going, oh, there's several here. So okay, here we go.
Well,
I want to know because they are so good. They're just they're
thank
beautiful
you. Thank
paintings.
you.
So
It was a labor of love, and it was a really cool way to heal. I really recommend anything artsy, even if you think you're not good at it, even if it's just throwing up some clay and learning how to make a pot, even if it comes out lopsided. I find that it's just so healing to do stuff with our hands.
there we go. I'll leave that pregnant pause just because it's just so true. Okay, so your website link is in the show notes, and all of the links will be on your page at our website.
Great, thank you.
Listeners, did you have an inner critic? I opened by saying that I sure did, but she's mellowed as I've gotten older. What's your story? Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, talk to us there. Maybe there was a question I didn't ask Arlene. Ask it in the comments and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. Arlene's been talking about inner critics. They are inside. You may not know someone you care about has an inner critic, and Arlene's chat will really help them come to terms with it. So share. Leave stars and reviews where you can. The algorithm goddesses love it. Usual reminder, you can support the podcast by buying me a coffee. The link is in the show notes and above Arlene's head on her page at our website. I'm registered at Substack. Following there is free. Arlene Cohen Miller, thank you for being my guest today and helping us recognize and deal with our inner critic. So, as you say, we can love and accept ourselves and enjoy life. It's that time of life that we should be doing that.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Have a great rest of week.